Like when I close my eyes and don't even care if anyone sees me dancing. Like I can fly and don't even think of touching the ground. Like a heartbeat skip, like an open page, like a one-way trip on an aeroplane. It's the way that I feel when I'm with you. Brand new.
A fun week to be the church. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad I get to be here with you. You didn't know it, but you get to stack chairs today. That's going to be fun at the end. I'm going to forget to tell you, so we're going to do that. The reason is for VBS. We're next week, we're having kids from all over the community here. There are over 100 volunteers that are part of this. So many of you have stepped up in all kinds of incredible ways to love our community, to host our community, to take kids and point them toward Jesus. And that's an incredible thing that we get to do together as a church. And I'm excited about it. There'll be more than 150 kids here and just a good week to be the church. We're also starting a new sermon series. We're going to be scholars these next few weeks. We're going to study the book of Galatians together, and I want you to actually study it with me. So I'm going to encourage you to have your scripture, bring your phone or your Bible with you so we can look at the word together. I want you to read Galatians on your own at home. It's not long. You can read it in one sitting, and over the next 6 weeks, we're going to dive in and become scholars of the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is written to a church, a group of churches in a region called the Galatian region. And today is a special day in the life of the church. Today is a day we call Pentecost. And Pentecost is the birthday of the church. That's what Pentecost is. It's the day when Jesus told his disciples, go and wait, and I will send you my Holy Spirit. And they were in an upper room, and they were praying, and the Holy Spirit filled the room. Now, the disciples have been around before that, right? They're followers of Jesus before that, but we consider the beginning of the church is when the Holy Spirit filled the people. That group of people, not unlike this group of people right here, were filled with the Holy Spirit. That we, as the church, that's who we are. That's what our legacy is, that as a church, we're the people of the Spirit. That God works in us and through us, and he works in the community around us because of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we celebrate on Pentecost. And Paul writes this letter to some of those churches, and really, he writes it to us. And so we're going to become scholars of this letter. Would you pray with me as we open the scripture today? Father, we're so thankful that you would give us your word, that you would use Paul to write this letter to a group of people that would impact them, and not only them, but the communities around them, that it would be passed down as your word even to us. Father, we pray, speak to us. Speak today, God. May we hear your voice. May we know it clearly. May we run in the direction that you call us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Most of us probably learned to read scripture the wrong way. I'm not saying it was intentional, but you know, if you grew up around the church, you may have had like one of those calendars with a verse of the day on it, right? You know, that's a good thing. You just read a verse every day. Maybe you have a phone app now that helps you do that. We there's some great verses out there, and we get that one verse and we just read it, and that's inspirational. We love that verse, and so we just sort of read the Bible kind of one inspirational verse at a time. And that's just, we don't mean to train people to do that, but that's just kind of how we do it. And Galatians has several of those sort of all-star kind of verses. There's one today that I would use, and this one's not going to come up yet. We're going to go back and read the whole section. But in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says this, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Yeah, Paul, I mean, that's good stuff, right? He gets them, you know. He sticks them right there. I'm not trying to please you people, only God. It reminds me of the story. We talked about David not that long ago, and we were looking at the life of David, and we saw that day when David worshiped and he danced, and it was called out, you know, David, you're embarrassing yourself. And he says, I'll become even more undignified than this, right? I have an audience of one. It's only God that I care about. I mean, that's incredible. It's powerful. That's the kind of stuff I love. As a preacher, I just want to take that verse and camp out right there and just preach that sucker. But we would miss what was actually going on if we did that. We wouldn't know the whole story. In fact, there's a whole bunch to understand what Paul is even saying there. So I want to go back and take a look at it. So we're gonna read the first 10 verses of Galatians. We're going to go back and look at that, and I want you just to hear. These are the words. This is what Paul writes to this church, this group of churches. This is what he says. This is Galatians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said so, now I say it again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Okay, is that cleared up? It's clear as mud, right? We're reading a little bit more. We're gonna understand a little bit more of what's going on in that place. We start to see the argument. But if you're anything like me, you read those words and you're like, well, Paul's upset. I get that, right? He's yelling about cursing twice. He's saying, these people will be cursed. So he's probably mad. I get that, you know. But it's hard to kind of even understand that, to really get what's actually happening here. You ever walk into an argument that you don't know what's happening in the argument? You just walk right in the middle of the argument, you know, and the two sides are going back and forth and you make all kind of assumptions. I'm famous for doing this at home. You know, I walk into the middle of an argument that's going on and I just go ahead and assert myself right into the middle. You know, I just get right in there, man. I'm right with them. I'm going to solve this argument. And the thing that happens is they find a common enemy, right? They both look at me and go, get out of, this is not your argument. Get out. You don't even know what we're talking about. But I don't have a problem. I just jump in. Sometimes we read scripture, we feel like we're just thrown right in. And to be honest with you, you know, I know I'm supposed to be in God's word. We're supposed to read God's word. We should be reading God's word daily. But so often when I do that, I can read some of God's word and look at that. And just being honest here, I can get to the end of that. And sometimes I'm like, man, that was powerful. But there are other days when I get to the end of that, and I'm like, I got no idea. I don't know. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what the point. That didn't hit me. It didn't hit my heart. What in the world is going on? You see, if we're going to read scripture, you know, God speaks to us through scripture. And he does it sometimes through one verse. And he does it sometimes through a section that we don't know much about. But if we want to be lovers of scripture, if we want to devour the scripture, then we need to understand the scripture. We need to get some of the context and the background. We need to have kind of a strategy. We need to hear what's going on. And as we do that, it makes scripture so much more beautiful, so much more understandable. It actually, we start to see then what's going on at that time and then how that applies to our life. And that sends us in a trajectory to live out scripture. So that's what we're going to do the next few weeks. And I want you to know, if you're going to understand Galatians, you got to know what's going on in Galatians. We can't just pick a couple verses and go, here's a good one, you know, because there's some good ones. But we got to get it. So what's happening here? You have the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul becomes an apostle. He's not one of the original disciples of Jesus. He has this experience. We call it the Damascus Road experience because it's on the way to Damascus. And Jesus meets him and knocks him off a horse. And you know, is this conversion experience that Paul has. And then Paul is called into ministry. But it takes actually some time before Paul's ministry really develops. Actually a really long period of time. But at some point, Paul develops this strong calling to plant churches, and he is then sent out to plant churches all over the known world. Now, something else was kind of going on at the time. The good news was originally given to Jewish followers of God. These were people who were followers of God. They knew God, but they were the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. And that's where the gospel started to spread around Jerusalem and in Israel. But something happened. There was this little church, not that far away, but a little bit out. And that church didn't know the rules. They didn't know this was only for Jewish people. And the gospel started to get out of its box. It started to spread out. There were Gentiles that actually became Christ followers. They did not know what to do with that, right? The Gentiles didn't know all the rules. They didn't have all the background. They didn't have all the stuff. And so they said, what are we going to do? And Barnabas says, I know this guy, Paul. And they get Paul, and Paul comes into that situation, and God begins to work through Paul, and Paul's ministry begins to flourish. His ministry becomes one of planting churches. Often those churches were full of Gentile people, people far from God. His ministry was one of having both Gentiles and Jews in the same church, worshiping together, both with the same grace that God gives to all people. And Paul started planting a whole bunch of churches. He planted a group out in this area a little bit further out. This is Galatia. And this little group of people start to follow Christ. Several little churches there. They turn their lives to Christ. Lives were changed. It was exciting. They started to understand this gospel, this good news, this grace, that God would actually enter into this world, that would love them so much, would die for them so that they could be reconciled to him. They have a relationship with him. Lives began to change. Communities began to change. It was exciting. Now, Paul wasn't the only leader in the church at the time. There were leaders all over the church, and some of those leaders would go from church to church to kind of check in on these churches and preach and lead. And some leaders came out of Israel, and they came to the Galatian region and started speaking to these churches. And they said, hey, guys, this is so exciting that you've heard the good news of grace, but there's a little bit more that you need to do. You know, there's some extra things that you've got to follow. You got to put into practice. And they said, you know, you need to have the marks of the people of God. Now, this was important at the time. You got to understand this. In Israel, there was a lot of pressure on Jews and followers of Christ in Israel by the Roman government and others. There was persecution, and so people were spread out all over the area. It was a diaspora, and there were Jewish little pockets of Jewish people all over the Roman world, and those little groups of Jews, it became really important to have markers that they were God's holy people, set apart people. And so they needed those markers, and they became very important. And this group of leaders in the church came to these churches in Galatia and said, you know, grace is incredible. You've entered in this relationship with God, but you need to add some stuff on here. And the main things were this. There were kind of three main things. One was that they would obey the food laws, that they would eat clean food and not unclean food. They wouldn't eat with people that were considered unclean, that they would watch those food laws and obey them. And so that was a really important thing. And another is that they would keep, and Paul calls it like the days. He says, you're keeping the days and the months. And what he's talking about are the festivals. And he's even talking about a strict keeping of the Sabbath, a very strict keeping of the Sabbath. And that became so important as markers of the people of God, that they would keep these days, these holy days and these holy celebrations and Sabbath. The third was a little trickier, was circumcision, right? You had to be circumcised. That was a marker of the people of God. It was one of the key things. And so you need to be circumcised. So here's what's going on, right? You got a group of new churches, super excited. They hear the gospel of grace. Jesus has come for them. Lives are getting changed. They're changing their communities around them. A group of people come and say, hey, guys, this is exciting. We're so excited for you. We just need to do one little thing. All the guys need to line up over there. We're going to do circumcisions, right? So we're just gonna get this all taken care of. And, you know, I mean, that's what was going on. We're going to do circumcisions, and we gotta tweak some of how we're eating and food laws and some things like that and keep some feasts. Paul gets so upset. He's irate. He says, no, you don't have to do that. In fact, in Acts, we see that there was a council in Jerusalem where the leaders of the church all came together and decided that Gentiles would not be asked to keep these markers of the people of God, that wouldn't be the markers they were asked to keep. And Paul says, you did not need to keep those. And you can guess these leaders that were saying, well, you do need to keep the marks. You do need to get everybody circumcised. They looked at Paul and said, Paul is preaching a weak gospel, a watered-down gospel. They said, Paul just wants to please people, so he's just trying to make it easy. Paul's not requiring circumcision. He's making it easy. And that's why Paul says, if I was just trying to please men, I wouldn't do this. Well, what is it that he's doing? He's chastising them, right? Remember the whole cursed, and I can't. Well, so let's read it, and let's see what happened, okay? So with that background, Paul writes this letter, and I want you to understand this letter. So we're going to go back. Grab your Bibles, grab your phone, whatever you got. I want to read it again, and this time we're going to read it with that kind of understanding, with that lens to what's going on. And I want you to listen now carefully for what's happening in this passage. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia. Paul addresses them, and he wants them to know he comes with authority. And it's not the authority of just people, because they're hearing different teachings from different people. He wants you to know, I've been given this authority by God. What kind of authority does God have? The kind of authority to raise someone from the dead, that kind of authority. So Paul says, I come with that authority. This is the weight that I carry to this passage. And then he gives a greeting that you'll see in all of Paul's letters, or most of them at least, in verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Grace and peace to you is what he says. That's his greeting. Now, in the Greek world, everybody started their letters with this greeting that sounded a lot like the word for grace. It's the same root word. It's a word that means rejoice, or kind of like cheers, or it was really just greetings. Paul takes that word and he changes the ending just a little bit. He moves it from greetings to grace. This is one of the love words in the New Testament. It's the word for gift or grace. And Paul uses that word. You see, he's given them just this little glimpse of the gospel, of the gospel that matters. Is this, right? Grace. God gives you grace. He sends his son for you, and it's a gift, a complete gift. That's why he wants to start, right there in grace. And then he says, in peace. That peace word was actually the word that was used to start letters in the Jewish world. That was the word shalom. That was their key word, and they would have started their words with that, their letters with that. And Paul puts those two words together. That word shalom doesn't mean peace like absence of war. It means peace like wholeness, things set right, things are put in order. They're in order in our hearts, and they're in order in our communities, in our world. So he's giving us this gospel. God gives us this free gift of love, that we have a relationship with him, that lives would be changed, and that's lived out in our community around us in shalom, that puts our world in order and fulfillment. See, Paul wants him to get this story right. But for this group, Paul goes a step further. Normally, Paul would just jump right into some conversation back and forth, but Paul doesn't. Paul says this, it goes, grace and peace to you And then from our God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 4, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. Paul puts the gospel in the shortest possible format. See, because he's talking to a group of people who are dealing with the gospel's been added to and added to. It's the gospel is grace plus these other things. And so there have been all these layers that have been added to the gospel. And so Paul just wants to remind them just real clearly, real simply. Jesus gives himself up for our sins. Jesus dies on the cross for our sins so that we would be rescued. Rescued from our sin, rescued from the evil in this world, this evil, broken world around us. That's the gospel. It's pure, it's simple, it's clean. And Paul wants you to get that. And Paul gets so excited about that, he can't help but to jump into worship, right? He just gets excited. I like to sit in my study and every once in a while I'll just read and I'll read some boring old theology and I'll catch myself just getting really excited. I'll go around and try to tell everybody in my house what I just read about. They don't get excited. Paul just gets excited for himself. He just jumps right into doxology. He just goes, glory be to God. You know, this is exciting. And then Paul does something he doesn't usually do in any other letter. See, next, Paul would go, I'm excited about you. I'm so thankful for you. Paul would pray for them and encourage them. He's sending these letters, these communications off to these churches that he planted. Usually he goes, I just want to encourage you. I'm excited for you. But that's not what Paul does next. This is verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who calls you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Remember that word's good news. You're turning to a different good news, which is really not good news at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. Then Paul thinks, maybe they didn't hear me. So he says, as we have already said, so I now say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. He really wants you to get the curse part. I imagine him shaking his head, like, curse. Now, you got to know, this is how this went down. These letters would be written on a piece, not exactly paper, but they'd be written out and, you know, rolled up and sent to a church. And the church would gather. A little group of people would gather together, not in a room as nice as this. They'd be in a home or something somewhere, wherever they could find. And they would be gathered together, and someone would stand up and they would say, we got a letter from the Apostle Paul, our founder. You know, he's always so excited about us. He's always praying for us. He's like, cares for us. And they stand up, and they read that out to the group. As they're reading, and oh, it's Paul. He's greeting us. He doesn't say, how's your family? How's it going? He says, I'm astonished. Where are you doing? See, I want you to hear Paul's passion in this. This matters. This matters so much. It's because they've taken the gospel, and he said, it's not just the gospel, it's the gospel plus some. That in order to live out the gospel, you got to live it out with these markers and with these laws. You got to put these things into place. And Paul says, no, it's just the gospel. It is grace. It is good news. And if you start going this direction, if you start going gospel plus something, you find yourself back in slavery. Paul's saying, don't go back towards slavery. Don't find yourself in that trap. You see, it's just the gospel. It's just grace. Paul gets so worked up about this, he starts yelling, curses, curses. But he wants them to get it. And that's where he gives a statement. See, I'm not trying to please people. I'm actually calling you to something more, something deeper, something bigger, something that's more life-changing. They're being asked to live out these specific markers of being God's people, circumcision and food laws and keeping of certain days. And we kind of laugh at that and we go, you know, we're not doing that so much these days, right? We don't have a circumcision rule here at church or anything, you know. We're not doing certain food laws at VBS next week. We don't do those things. I mean, that doesn't really matter to us. But you know, there's something to this. There's this kind of thing I see happen often where someone hears about the good news. They hear about grace. And just overwhelming to get this idea that God would give grace to me, that he would come and send his son for me, to die for me, that it was just given to me. That just blows me away. It's amazing that God would see me and know me, give himself for me. What? But then over time, we kind of move past that original sense of just the awe of the grace. And we start to say, well, you know, to be a Christ follower, you got to kind of look a certain way. You need to say certain things. There become these kind of little laws. We might not call them laws, but they just sort of happen. I remember when I was in college, I went to a little Christian college. We had a set of rules that you had to obey. One of those was no dancing. I don't know why. I ask around there. I don't know. You know, but it's no dancing. Because obviously, Christ followers never feel the beat, you know. I'm not really sure why, but it just became this marker. You're not going to do that. I remember there was another Christian college, one in Kentucky, that I knew about, and they had a rule, no beards. Now, they literally had walls with paintings of founders of the college with beards. But the rule is no beards. I was like, why not beards? Beards are a marker of rebelliousness. Who knew? We got a lot of rebellious people around these days. I didn't know that was the thing. It was a marker. It was a sign. It was a showing. And we actually have these in the back of our own head. In fact, we sometimes sort of add these on. We even add them to ourselves. Paul says, no. No, you're called to something so much more. In chapter 2, we're going to get there next week. He says you're called to die with Christ so that the Spirit might live in you. He says you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to begin to work in you. That being a follower of Christ means a work on the heart. It means a total change, not just a few little rules and a few little laws. It means a whole change, a change in the way we see things, in the way we value things, a change in our deepest core of who we are, a change of heart. It means inviting God's Holy Spirit to work in you. Paul says, this is harder. It's a little bit scarier. It's not nearly as just cut and dry as obey these three laws. As we look forward, as we go forward in Galatians, we're going to get to chapter 5 in a few weeks. And when we get to chapter 5, we're going to see in chapter 5, he says, listen, if you really want marks, if you really want the marks of what it looks like to be the people of God, these are not going to be things like obeying the right laws. They're going to be, and he calls them, the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we let the Spirit work in our hearts and souls, we begin to live that out. It's not as easy as just shave your beard, man, or whatever. This is what Paul says you're called to. Now, one of the things Paul gets really upset about is actually how some churches are doing communion. When they had communion, they would eat together. There were some of the churches that started reverting back to the law. And what that created was division. They were actually eating, separated out, Jews from Gentiles. And Paul got so upset about this. It's the same grace. It's the grace that's given to everyone. It's just one gospel. It's not a gospel plus a whole set of rules. It's just the gospel. He got so mad. In fact, we're going to see this in Galatians where Paul gets so upset about this. He says, look, there is no Jew and Gentile, no slave, no free, no male, no female. It's one gospel. It's one grace. It's one Holy Spirit at work in this group of people. So today we're going to take communion. We're going to do it a little differently. We're going to come to different stations around the room. And as you come to the table, you're going to be reminded that Jesus invited everybody to the table. Like, there's not a first-class section. We don't have the first-class table and the second. This is not, we don't do that. Because it's one gospel. Because it's one Holy Spirit. Because we are one in Christ as the Spirit works in us. Because we're the church, and the church is the church of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit blew through and the whole group was filled together. So we're invited to this table together. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks today for your letter that was written to churches in Galatia. But it speaks to us. Father, I'm amazed at this. That you would give me grace. That you would give us grace. God, would you help us as we study this word over these next few weeks to be crucified with you so that we might be resurrected? Would you help us to lean in and be people of your Holy Spirit? Would you give us your Holy Spirit to live in us and through us, not just as individuals, but as a church? We pray this in your holy name. Amen.